This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
It's quite a bit. Al-Razzaq is only once. What's the difference between Al-Razzaq and Al-Raziq? In Arabic, when you change the derivative or the way that you derive the word and how you kind of play with it, you change the meaning. Al-Razzaq, in comparison to al-Raziq means the one that offers provision. But it does not have any specific terms to it because it's just a generic subject in terms of what it's actually doing. Al-Razzaq means that the one who continuously offers provision. It's an ongoing process. And it's for all. The one who offers provision all the time, to all, with no exception to who's being offered. Al-Raziq is much more limited. It doesn't have that caveat to it. When you look at the word rizq, or you take the root and you search it in the Arabic dictionary, rizq kull ma yuntafa'u bihi. It's everything that is usable. Anything that you can use is rizq. Doesn't necessarily even have to be something that is beneficial. If you use it, if you're capable of using it, then that's what rizq is going to be called. Now, what's the difference between a rizq and a ni'mah? Have you ever thought about that? What example is it that you can use where you can't substitute rizq with ni'mah or ni'mah with rizq? Is there an example in your mind where you could say something is rizq but it's not ni'mah, or it's ni'mah and it's not rizq? It's very hard to distinguish these two words, even though they're very different. And when two words are extremely different in the Arabic language, there has to be a difference in what they mean. You know, they can't be completely synonymous. There has to be something different. And the difference between rizq and ni'mah is your perspective. That's all. That's the only difference. It's rizq. Once you see it as a blessing, it becomes ni'mah. If you acknowledge it as a blessing, it becomes ni'mah. If you don't, it stays rizq. That's the only difference. The difference is in your head. That's where the difference exists. So everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you, rizq is everything. Absolutely everything in your life. The color of your skin, the color of your eyes, your height, your weight, your background, your parents, where you were born, where you went to school, your friends, your community, your surroundings, the people that you know. All of this is rizq. Everything that you were given in life, everything that comes your way is rizq. What of it is ni'mah? That depends on you. And that depends on how you're going to see it. You may be someone very sensitive and you're able to see all of these things as ni'mah. You may see half of them, you may see less. Allahu alam, that is up to you. But there's no difference between them aside from your ability to acknowledge arzaq to be ni'am from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's a very important distinction, and it makes a big difference in how we look at the world. I'm going to go through just a number of ayat and hadith just to help kind of understand this concept, because this is an important name. The names or the attributes of provision, this is very important. All of the 12 categories, each category, even if you don't understand all of the names under it, you should understand at least the category itself in terms of the names that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has under them. Just understand the category because it's very important. It makes a big difference in how we live our lives and how we understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how we speak to Him and what we expect as well. He says subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا وَيَعْلَمُ مُسْتَقَرَّهَا وَمُسْتَوْدَعَهَا كُلٌّ فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. And there is nothing that lives on this earth except it's upon Allah. This is the word he uses. عَلَى اللَّهِ. In Arabic, when people are asking for something or asking for a collaborative effort, then people will walk in to that collaborative effort and say, عَلَيَّ كَذَا. I mean, upon me is the water. I'll bring the water to the. you can bring all the other ingredients. And then everyone brings just water, and we just drink water, and we go home. Alallah, rizquha. It's upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's provision. Everything, every living thing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon it is provision. When you listen to Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he speaks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala twice in the Quran, when he left his family in Arabia, one of the times he says, Rabbi ja'al hadha al-balada aminan wa junubi. Then he, Rabbana inni askantu min dhurriyati biwadin ghayri dhi zar'in inda baytika al-muharram. Oh my Lord, I have left my family to live in a valley that has no green in it. It's where your sacred house is. See, this is before he built it. Some people think he built it. No. This is before he built it. He left Ismail as a baby. And he says, عند بيتك المحرم, where your sacred house is. So if he built it, then how does he know that it's there if Ismail is not even, if he built it with Ismail, right? So these little things you should pay attention to. Ismail was a baby. Ismail built it with him. If he built it, then he wouldn't know it was there to begin with. But he knew it was there because that's Adam alayhi salam built it. He didn't. He just rebuilt it. عند بيتك المحرم ربنا ليقيموا الصلاة, so that they may learn to establish their prayer. فَجْعَلْ أَفْئِدَةً مِنَ النَّاسِ تَهْوِي إِلَيْهِمْ. May they be surrounded by people so they're protected. وَارْزُقُهُمْ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَشْكُرُونَ. And then grant them, provide them with fruits that they may be grateful. And the other one, he says, رَبِّ جَعَلْ هَذَا بَلَدًا آمِنًا وَارْزُقَ أَهْلَهُ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ. And provide the people who live there with fruits. مَنْ آمَنَ مِنْهُمْ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. Those of them who believe in you and believe in the day of judgment. So Allah answered him, قَالَ وَمَنْ كَفَرْ. And the people who don't believe. Allah answered him and told him, وَمَنْ كَفَرْ. And the ones who don't believe too. Why am I only providing? Why do I only provide for the ones who believe in me? I provide for those who believe and those who don't believe. So he corrected him. There's a story في الآثار في الإسرائيليات. It's found in the آثار بني إسرائيل. It's narrated to us by some of the tabi'een about Ibrahim alayhi salam. It's an interesting story. I like to tell it. Ibrahim alayhi salam used to love guests. He almost never ate if there was no guest at his table. He refused to eat alone. And one night he waited and he waited and he waited. And finally an elderly gentleman strolling somewhere in the desert would come by. And Ibrahim would call upon him to come and eat with him and share his meal. So the man came. And as they are eating, Ibrahim, and he's an old man, he asks him, they're talking, and he asks him about, religion comes up. And the man says, I don't believe, لا في الله ولا في غيره. I don't believe in Allah, and I don't believe in any God. فإبراهيم got upset. فقال قم عن طاع اذهب, get out of here. I'm feeding a pagan, get out of here. But the man gets up and leaves. فكلمه الله. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls Ibrahim. قال يا إبراهيم. أطعمه 70 عاما يكفر بي ولا تصبر عليه ليلة. I've been feeding him for 70 years. He's never said thank you to me once, and you can't give him a night. You can't take care of him just for one night. For 70 years I've been feeding him. He says nothing. He believes in no one. فذهب إبراهيم. So Ibrahim عليه السلام gets on his horse and he follows the man. قال تعالى عد, come back. عاتبني فيك ربي. My Lord chastised me because of you. قال لي كذا وكذا. This is what he told me. So come back and eat. I lost my temper. I shouldn't have done that. Come back and eat. فقال عاتبك في ربك. He chastised you about me. فقال نعم. فقال أشهد أن لا إله إلا هو. لا إله إلا الله. He says سبحانه وتعالى. قل أئنكم لتكفرون بالذي خلق الأرض في يومين وتجعلون له أندادا ذلك رب العالمين وجعل فيها رواسي من فوقها وبارك فيها وقدر فيها أقواتها في أربعة أيام سواء للسائلين وقدر فيها أقواتها. التقدير, the word قدر means he, so it's not an estimate, but it is assigning an amount. It's the assignment of an amount. أقواتها القوت are the needs, the provisions, what people need to survive. So قدر فيها أقواتها. He assigned the amounts for all those that are going to live, what they're going to need to actually survive on the planet. وقدر فيها أقواتها. Something that was estimated, something that was provided and assigned way before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the human being. Way before we emerged to this world and were a thing to begin with. The provision was provided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this planet. اللَّهُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ ثُمَّ رَزَقَكُمْ ثُمَّ يُمِيتُكُمْ ثُمَّ يُحْيِيكُمْ هَلْ مِن شُرَكَائِكُمْ مَن يَفْعَلُ مِن ذَلِكُمْ مِن شَيْءٍ Subhanahu wa ta'ala amma yushrikun. Allah is the one who created you, and He is the one who provided for you, and He will grant you death, and He will grant you life. Tell me which of your associates can do that. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla Jalalullah. The Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam, the hadith, the ayat are endless, honestly. The Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam was saying, the hadith narrated by Abu Nu'aym fil Hilya, qala, inna ruha al-qudusi نفث في روعي أن نفسا لن تموت حتى تستكمل رزقها. Indeed, the Holy Spirit has blown into my consciousness, telling me that there is no soul that will die until it uses up all of the provision that Allah decreed for it. That no one will die until they use up all of the provision that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had decreed for them within their lives. Whatever is there for you, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had decreed that you're going to eat and you're going to drink, going to use, you're going to use it up before you die. You don't die before that. Once you pass away, that's because that's it. That was all that. That's what He had decreed for you, subhanahu wa ta'ala. The famous hadith in collection of Imam Muslim, when the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam tells us how the fetus is growing. At the end of it, قَالَ فَيَأْتِيهِ الْمَلَكُ فَيَنْفُخُ فِيهِ الرُّوحِ ثُمَّ يُؤْمَرُ بِأَرْبَعِ وَبِكَتْبِ أَرْبَعِ كَلِمَاتٍ. And then the angel comes and he blows the spirit within the body of this fetus. And he is commanded to write down four pieces of information. The first one, بِكَتْبِ رِزْقِهِ. He writes, he decrees what rizq he's going to get. And then he wrote, وَعَمَلِهِ وَعُمْرِهِ وَشَقِيٌّ أَمْ سَعِيدٌ. And the known hadith that we all know. بِكَتْبِ رِزْقِهِ. The amount of rizq that you're going to get. When you look at the concept of rizq in the Quran, you find that it's attached to four topics at all times. Like whenever it's talked about, one of these themes is attached to it when it's talked about. The first one, that it's about what you need, not what you want. The first theme that you find the word rizq following along is that it's not about what you want, it's about what you need. قُلْ إِنَّ رَبِّي يَبُسُطُ الرِّزْقَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ وَيَقَدِرُ لَهُ. You go to Surah Saba, you find this gem at the end, towards the end of the وَيَقَدِرُ لَهُ. Say, indeed, my Lord, الْبَسْط يَبْسُطُ الرِّزْقَ. One of his names, الْبَاسِطُ الْقَابِضُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. الْبَسْط is when he grants, and he grants in abundance. So يَبْسُطُ الرِّزْقَ, he grants in abundance provision. مِنْ عِبَادِهِ, to whoever he wants from his servants. وَيَقَدِرُ when he holds back, he lessens it, he decreases the amount. Most of the time in the Quran it's وَيَقْدِرْ without any. In Surah Saba you find at the end of it وَيَقْدِرُ لَهُ. لَهُ meaning for His sake. For His sake. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you a lot, and sometimes He'll give you little. And when He gives you a lot, it's for your sake. When He gives you little, it's also for your sake. عَلِمَ مَا يُصْلِحُكَ فَأَعْطَاكَ عَلَى قَدْرِ مَا يُصْلِحُكَ. He knew subhanahu wa ta'ala that which will be beneficial to you, that which will allow you to function better, so He gave you what is appropriate for the time that you're in, so that you may accept that and you may use it in a beneficial way for yourself. And you who follow this concept within the Quran, أَوَلَمْ يَعْلَمُ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَبْسِطُ الرِّزْقَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ وَمِنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَقْدِرْ إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يُؤْمِنُونَ. You find Him using this concept, subhanahu wa ta'ala, all throughout the Quran. يَبْسِطْ وَيَقْدِرْ. He'll give an abundance and He'll hold back, and it's all for you at the end, because you have what you need, not what you want. Number two, ارتباطه بالشكر, the fact that it's connected with gratitude, with showing gratitude, with shukr. And shukr is not just a word. When you say alhamdulillah, that's hamd. That's hamd. Hamd is important, for sure. Shukr is different. Shukr is when you actually do something with it. Shukr is when you take what you were given and you use it in a way that is beneficial to others. It's when you take what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided you with, and you use it in a way that pleases Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's shukr. Alhamd is easy. Alhamd takes nothing. Just sit there and say alhamdulillah. You just move your lips and your tongue with a few sounds. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. It's a big... Shukr is when you take it and you actually use it in a way, the way that He wants it to be used, subhanahu wa ta'ala. The way that He wants it to be used. Because He put it on, Allahu alladhi khalaqa as-samawati wal-arda bil-haqqi wa anzala lakum min as-samai ma'a fa akhraja bihi min ath-thamarati rizqan lakum. وَسَخَّرَ لَكُمُ الْفُلْكَ لِتَجْرِيَ فِي الْبَحْرِ بِأَمْرِهِ وَسَخَّرَ لَكُمُ الْأَنْهَارِ وَسَخَّرَ لَكُمُ الشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ دَائِبَيْنِ وَسَخَّرَ لَكُمُ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارِ وَآتَاكُمْ مِنْ كُلِّ مَا سَأَلْتُمُوهُ. وإن تعدوا نعمة الله لا تحصوها إن الإنسان لظلوم كفار. Allah created the heavens and He created the earth, and He descended water from the sky, and He put for you ships in the sea, and He put for you a sun and a moon, and He put for you rivers and water, and He put for you day and night, and He gave you everything that you ever asked for. And if you count His blessings, you'll fail to calculate them. You'll fail to count them and their impact on you. Indeed, the human being oppresses himself and lacks gratitude. Importance of gratitude. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ لَا يَمْلِكُونَ لَكُمْ رِزْقًا. People that you, anyone else you turn to, they don't own provision. They don't have provision for you. فَبْتَغُوا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الرِّزْقَ. Go to Allah and ask Him for provision. وَاشْكُرُوا لَهُ. And show him gratitude when you do so. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُلُوا مِن طَيِّبَاتِ مَا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ وَاشْكُرُوا لِلَّهِ إِن كُنْتُمْ إِيَّاهُ تَعْبُدُونَ. Oh, those who believe, eat from the halal that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided for you, and show Him gratitude. وَاشْكُرُوا لِلَّهِ. The third piece, it's certainty. وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ وَمَا تُوَعَدُونَ فَوَرَبِّ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِنَّهُ لَحَقَّ مِثْلَ مَا أَنَّكُمْ تَنْطِقُونَ. Indeed, within the heavens, your rizq exists. What you've been promised of your rizq exists is decreed on a place outside of your reach. You can't change it. It's there. فَوَرَبِّ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. I swear to you, by the Lord of the heavens and the earth. إِنَّهُ لَحَقٌّ. This is the truth. It's certainty. Arabi listened to this person and said, مَا فَعَلْتُمْ حَتَّى أَقْسَمَ الْكَرِيمِ. What have you done to make the Kareem swear that your rizq is going to come to you? What have you been saying to him? How have you been behaving? That he has to, the first ayah is enough. Why does he have to have another one later saying, فَوَرَبِّ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِنَّهُ لَحَقٌّ. Why is the generous one swearing and taking an oath that your rizq is going to come to you as he decreed? The first ayah is enough. What have you been saying? قَالَ فَعَاتَبَ الصَّحَابَ. He came and he was yelling at the Sahaba. What have you been doing? That Allah has to, إِنَّهُ فَوَرَبِّ السَّمَاءِ إِنَّهُ لَحَقٌّ مِثْلَ مَا أَنَّكُمْ تَنْطِقُونَ. Just like you speak and you articulate, your rizq is going to come to you. Why did he have to say that? You didn't believe the first one. No. You didn't believe when he said, وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ وَمَا تُوَعَدُونَ. The fourth theme that is connected to in the Quran is infaq. It's connected to the concept of infaq, of giving. وَأَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتُ فَيَقُولَ رَبِّ لَوْلَا أَخَّرْتَنِي إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ قَرِيبٍ فَأَصَّدَّقْ وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الشَّاكِرِينَ. And give from that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you. Give. He gave you, He provided for you. Give before the day comes where you die. And then on your deathbed, you wish you could go back in time and give from your rizq. It's what people who are dead wish they could come back and do. Once they're under the ground, this is what they wish they could do. They wish they could come back to life and then give their wealth and give their rizq. Take it and give it to others. It's rizq. Rizq is everything. Don't look at rizq as just money. It limits its meaning. Rizq is everything. Your knowledge is rizq. Your time is rizq. Your expertise is rizq. Your ability to listen to someone, that's rizq. Your ability to advise someone, that's rizq. Everything you have is rizq. It's not just wealth. Wallahi, wealth is just a small fraction of it. Like money, and you just need enough of that to survive. The rizq that is actually more valuable in your life is not that. You're telling me the most valuable thing you have is your bank account. You're very poor if that's the most valuable thing that you have, wallahi. Even though you're not, you're extremely rich. But if that's what you're seeing, if you see that's the most valuable thing I have, then you have forced yourself to see your own self through a lens of poverty, of having little, because his rizq subhanahu wa ta'ala is way beyond that. He gave you way many more things. You want to come back and you want to give from your rizq, and it's not just your wealth. You start looking at your life and you wish you gave more time. You wish you gave more service. You wish you gave more emotion. You wish you gave more of everything that you had, but you can't come back and do it anymore. Ever heard of the sardine run? The sardine run. This is one of the most interesting natural phenomena. Wallahi, I'm a documentary nerd and I love watching these natural stuff. You should go watch it. There's like multiple documentaries on the sardine run and how many thousands of kilometers they cross every single year. Every single year, they go from one part of the world in Africa to parts of South America and back again. They go from one place to the other to mate, and then they lay their eggs and they come back again. And why it is that they do this is just very weird, because, you know, how is it that every generation seems to know that this is the route that they're going to take? Now, obviously, they follow temperatures, but there's a lot of details on this route that is very difficult to understand why they follow it specifically. And the funny thing is that the route that they take over these thousands of kilometers, other living things know what time of year they come and they wait. Bears and whales and dolphins and for the start, and they eat. And without them coming through the routes that they come through, they die because they have to eat. And if they had any brains, these sardines, they would figure out that maybe just don't take a right over there. Maybe just that first right, we don't take that one. And many more of us will make it to our destination. Like, way more will make it. We just don't take that right because they seem to devour most of us. But they do it anyway because it's arzaq. It's arzaq. وَمَنْ لَسْتُمْ لَهُ بِرَازِقِينَ وَمَنْ لَسْتُمْ لَهُ وَالْأَرْضَ مَدَدْنَاهَا وَالْقَيْنَا فِيهَا رَوَاسِي When he talks about rizq, وَمَنْ لَسْتُمْ لَهُ بِرَازِقِينَ And I provide for those whom you do not provide for. You are never asked to provide for these creations. I provide for them. And you watch this this feast, this natural feast where animals come around. They don't harm each other. Just eat the sardines and they leave. Subhanallah. I want you to think about this. I want you to think about a drop of water somewhere in an ocean far away. A drop of water has your name on it. It's floating somewhere in the ocean. The sun shines down. And that drop of water evaporates and goes up into the clouds. And for a couple of months, the winds move those clouds and move those clouds and move those clouds. And suddenly, and finally, these clouds that were somewhere in the Pacific Ocean, they find their way to the mountains of Europe. And they rain on these mountains. So this drop of water goes deep into the earth, deep into the plumbing of the earth, finds its way to one of the wells where all of the bottled water that we know today is extracted, taken out, is put into a bottle of water, and is shipped from some place in Europe over to Canada. It's left, arrives somewhere in Mississauga, and some person picks it up and buys it, and takes a sip from this bottle, puts it in his car, and then at some point he picks you up, you get into the car, you're thirsty, you see his bottle of water, you ask him, he says yes, you pick it up, and then you drink your drop of water that had your name on it. That's how this works. This drop of water had your name on it from the beginning, all along. It'll go around the globe and find its way to your mouth, because that's your rizq, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed that this was what was going to be for you. So you take it. أَمَّنْ هَذَا الَّذِي يَرْزُقُكُمْ إِنْ أَمْسَكَ رِزْقَهُ فَلَجُّوا فِي عُتُوٍ وَنُفُورٍ Who is it that will grant you provision once he holds back his provision, subhanahu wa ta'ala? No one
can.
Why is it that people starve to death then? People starve to death during famines, during war, during incidents that are unnatural incidents, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put their arzaq in the hands of other people for them to give it to them. And then they don't. The people who die from starvation is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put their arzaq in your hands and you held their rizq back. Within your wealth every year, they are the rizq of other people. In your wealth every year, after a full lunar year goes around, within your wealth, there exists the rizq of other people. It's not your wealth. This is zakah. This is not yours anymore. This is the rizq of someone else. And if you hold it back, then you held back their rizq of someone else in your hands, and you have to give it. And if you don't and you hold it back, they starve. They starve, especially during difficult times. These ayat talk about rizq in normal times. When there is war, when there is famine, when there is struggle, when it's hard to find, that's at that moment, the arzaq become, it's a little bit different. The whole dynamic of the rizq becomes different. The rizq is still decreed for them. It's just it's going to be in the hands of maybe others. And either they give it or they don't. And when they don't, Yawm al-Qiyamah, they're held. Yawm al-Qiyamah, they're brought back. Ta'ala shuf. Where was the rizq? That wasn't yours. within that wealth of yours. That wasn't your rizq. You ate that. That wasn't yours. That was theirs. Why didn't you give it? I told you, that's not yours. You give it to them. They were starving. They deserved that. That was a part that you owed them. You ate their rizq. And now you have to give it back. And you can't. You can't give it back. You already consumed it. It's gone now. Now you pay in hasanat back to these people. You pay in the most expensive currency that ever existed. That's why people die of starvation. That's why. There's a lot of provision. There's enough food on this planet to feed all of us. And if you multiply our numbers by 10, there's still enough food. There's not enough to feed our greed, but there's enough to feed our bellies for sure. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees rizq for all. And at times of difficulty, when it becomes hard to, when there's war and when there's disease and when people hold each other's rizq, and either they give it out or they don't. That's why people go into situations that we see. How do we live with Allah, with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Number one, do not compromise for rizq ever. Only eat halal. Never compromise. Don't be afraid. This is very important. Just do not be afraid about your rizq. Work and whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you, accept. Don't compromise. Don't go into a situation and give up who you are. Be very careful with this. Eat only halal. Make sure that you only bring into your house halal. You don't only put in the bodies of your children halal. Even if it's less than what you wanted, make sure it's halal. That's your job as a provider, as a man. You provide for them. Allah al-Razzaq, He is the actual provider. But your job is to provide. Your job is to make that sure that because rizq can be halal, rizq can be haram. He is the provider. You're the provider in the sense of making sure that the provision is halal. That's your job. Just make sure the provision is halal. He'll provide it all. You just make sure you're not taking provision that's going to be haram and putting it in the bellies of your children. That's all. Even if it's less than what you would have wanted. Be content with your rizq. Have rida. Have acceptance. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me. Doesn't mean that you don't work hard. That's number four, three. Work hard for your rizq. Work harder and try to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you more. But be happy with what He gave you. Whatever He gave you at the end of the day, accept it. And make sure that you stay away from the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. وَمَطْعَمُهُ حَرَامٌ وَمَشْرَبُهُ حَرَامٌ وَغُذِّيَ بِالْحَرَامِ فَأَنَّا يُسْتَجَابُ لَهُ. He's talking about a person with their hands up saying, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi. Oh Allah, grant me. Oh Allah, give me. And he dresses haram. And he eats haram. And he was fed haram as a kid. How is Allah going to accept from him? What is Allah going to accept from him? No. أَطِبْ مَطْعَمَكْ تُسْتَجَبْ دَعْوَتُكْ. Make sure you eat halal and then your dua will be accepted. But you have to make sure that that's the case. And give others from whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you. Give others. As He grants you subhanahu wa ta'ala His blessing, as He grants you His rizq, take that rizq and offer it to find beauty in being the bab. Be bab rizq for someone. Be bab rizq. Be the source of provision for somebody. Just like you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to continue to give you your rizq and to make it in abundance, then give others. Be the source of income, be the source of life and provision for someone else. He says, alayhi salatu wasalam, this is Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-kufri wal-faqr. Min al-kufri wal-faqr. Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from disbelief and poverty. Kana wa kana yaqrinu baynahuma. He always put them together, alayhi salatu wasalam. And there's all these ahadith. كاد الفقر أن يكون كفرا. فقر, poverty, almost turns into كفر. قال ويعدلان. When the Sahaba asked him, يعني are they ويعدلان, are they similar? فقال نعم. Yes, they're very similar. They're very close. فقر and كفر, very close. Because when you're starving, it's hard to talk to somebody. When someone's starving, it's hard to talk to them about God. It's hard when they're starving. It's not the lack of His provision, subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it's the greed of the human being. It's the greed of the human being that holds back that which others can benefit from. Their rizq is it. So he, alayhi salam, sought refuge in kufr and faqr. And it's something worth kind of contemplating. I hope that was a benefit to you. Subhanallah, bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.